Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Hey, welcome. I know we got a packed house. I know y'all got, you can see these little angels up front getting ready to do their deal. They don't have a name for their drama dance group yet. Little Angel sounds pretty good to me. I'm just putting that out there, just saying. And it's going to be good. Welcome to Christ Community Church. Do the best you can to leave what you brought, or if your mind's somewhere else and it's not just here ready to think about what God says through the songs or through the sermon, do your best just to focus on what He has for you. Let me pray for us and we'll start our worship service. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And Lord, I pray that You would help us. Help us, Father, in everything, whether it be tithing or be expressing our praise or be it obeying You in any one point. Thank You for everyone who's here, and help us, Father, to use this time to glorify You and to say to You that we're here. We're here and we're hearing You. We're listening. We're open. Help us to be open. Lord, we love You and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you all come here today with chains? Have you come here with something binding you up? Have you come with a burden that's brought you to your wits' end? You know what the Bible says? We studied it today in Psalm 107 in Sunday school. It says, call on the Lord, and He will save. The Son of God, who is raised from the dead, can break any problem you've got, I promise. And when He brings us to heaven as saved people, we ain't going to live in the ghetto. We don't live just at the doorway. He brings us in. He brings us into the family. That's what Jesus does. Because when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That's who He is.
Break every chain.
We got the little angels, and they're going into that room over there, I think. And as they get ready, just say a prayer for them, and we'll pray for them before they start up. But I want to witness. They've been practicing. They've been dedicated. They've been after church on Sundays. They've been for special practices on Saturdays. And we're just proud of them. We're proud of what God's doing in our midst through our youngins. Isn't that something that we ought to be proud of? I mean, isn't it something? Yeah. Just to say, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. And I don't know about y'all, but today seems like a special kind of day of God just doing stuff in our midst today. And so we're just going to say thank you, Lord, for that. And I'm going to look at Miss Lauren, who is the leader of the angels. She's the archangel. Or is it archangel? I forget, I'm not really smart. Okay, you ready? I'm going to pray for us, and they're going to go get them. Father God, we do pray again. We pray for these little, our beautiful little girls and what they've done in their practice, what they've accomplished. And Father, I pray that you would bless them, help them with any kind of nervousness, and let them know that we're for them, that you're for them, and that this is an awesome opportunity for them and for us, and make it just good. Lord, we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, move over here. Like, move away from that light. Yeah. Keep on coming. There you go. Good job, angels, little angels. That might not be their name, so when you look them up in the future on YouTube and stuff, you know, you might just want to, you know, do some research on that. We're gonna have our Nani's class and any other children's church activities that are gonna dismiss and follow your leader. It's Nani's birthday today. 29 years old. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. And there they go. Look at them. They're all right, aren't they? Thank God in the church for youngins. You know, we talk a lot about things, and if you're here early enough on a Sunday morning, it means you've dodged youngins who are speeding at you like asteroids in the universe. And we tell them, slow down, don't run. We could have it tattooed on our face and their face. But they can't. It seems like their legs carry them too fast no matter where they go. But I can tell you this, not for a million years would you want to trade to have a church where there are no youngins. You want to know the church that has no youngins running, no youngins making a mess? It's just where there's no youngins. That's it. If you're going to have them, count your blessings. Tell them the right way. Pray for them. Show them the right way. But love them and accept them, right? This is how it is. We're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians. We've started a series going through Corinthians. The name of the series is The Church of God for Real. The Church of God for Real. And the name of this title, the title of this message is A Come to Jesus Meeting. Seems appropriate for the songs that were selected. And I just remind y'all, that's a God thing. The band and I don't work out what the message is going to be, but the message this morning is focused on the name of Jesus, and the songs this morning were focused on the name of Jesus, which makes me think that God wanted us this morning to be focused on the name of Jesus. Does that make sense? Y'all following me with that? So I'm going to read this scripture, and we're going to go through it, and we're going to go on. Be open to what God may have you do. Be ready to think, to pray, to react, to respond to what God would have you do in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the first 17 verses say this: Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom we were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas besides. I do not know whether I baptized any others, but for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us enough to call us out. You call us out individually and you call us out as a church. And Father God, I'm just saying thank you. It's not pleasant to be called out, but at least it's honest where we can say, we've got these issues, we have problems. There's folks here today with issues and problems, but the name of Jesus is what solves it, what cures it, what helps us. And what's you're the one who stays with us, Lord. So help us with a genuine and sincere heart. Give you our loyalty, our obedience, our ear. And Father, we love you. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. When I say you're going to have a come to Jesus meeting, what comes to your mind? It's not pleasant, is it? Usually means there's going to be some kind of confrontation. It means that something has gone wrong and we got to get it set right. Something has got way off track and it needs to be set back on track again. It's an eyeball to eyeball. Let me tell you the truth. I used to hear people say, let me tell you how the cow eats cabbage. Which I never really understood that, but I didn't know. I'm from the city. I was like, cows eat cabbage? Could they not just eat grass or something? Wouldn't that be cheaper? But anyways, I don't know anything about that. But the point is, it's straight talk, straight shooting. This is what's going on, and he's having a talk. God inspires this letter to the church of God. He doesn't even say just the church of Corinthians. He says, this is God's church, and it's in Corinth. And I got something to say to you, and we got to set it right. That sets the tone for this whole letter. It's a come to Jesus meeting. Did you hear when I read how often I refer to Jesus? You can do this experiment if you'd like, but you try to find anywhere outside the Gospels where Jesus is referred to more than in these first 10 verses of 1 Corinthians. I couldn't find anywhere. Outside the Gospels, where Jesus is actually talking, and it'll say, Jesus said, and they answered Jesus, and Jesus responded. You know, all that, there's Jesus is mentioned a lot of times there. But in no other writings, in the New Testament, can you find where Jesus is referred to more than in the letter of 1 Corinthians to a church that had gotten off track, to Christians who had problems that were overwhelming their life, and it's to them he continues and over again to remind them about Jesus. And matter of fact, he doesn't usually just say Jesus in this letter. Did you hear what he was saying? Jesus Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. He wasn't born to Joseph and Mary Christ. He's the Son of God. And Christ is a title that means Messiah, chosen one, the only one, the holy one, the special one, the prophesied one, the only one who can save you, the one. That's what Christ means. Jesus, the one. So every time it says Jesus Christ, It's a special thing. But a lot of these references aren't just to Jesus Christ. In verse 2 it says, to Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jesus Christ. So he puts another title in there, Lord. And what does that title mean? What does Lord mean? It means somebody that you have no hesitation or shame about bowing your knee in front of and saying, you've got me and I'm yours. I got no defense against you. I got no hope. I don't have anything in your sight. I'm yours. I'm yours. And it reminds me, one of my favorite prayers in the Bible says this, Lord, I'm yours. Save me. Lord, I'm yours. Save me. When I hear that Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, repeating over and over again, our Lord Jesus Christ, it makes me see myself humbled and submitted before the Lord of glory, before God, and asking this question, what do you want from me, Lord? What do you want? It's like Isaiah when he was in the throne room and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the Lord says, who shall go for us? And what did he say? Here am I. Send me. What do you want? What do you want from me? And I believe that this letter was inspired by God to give the church that kind of attitude, that kind of thing. Lord, what do you want from us? If there's a correction we need to make, we'll make it. If there's a sin needing forsaken, we'll forsake it. If there's a ministry we need to take up, we'll take it. What do you want me to do? I'm submitted to you. You're my Lord. You're Jesus, the one who saves. And that's what his name means. Jesus' name means the Lord saves. You're Jesus, the one who saves, the only one. And repeated in these 10 verses over and over. Boom, boom, boom. You think he's trying to get our attention? Do you think he's trying to leverage us? You know, that might not sound right. Like, is he trying to manipulate or leverage? But I'm telling you what he's trying to do. He is. He's saying to the church, I'm going to go to the highest of authorities, and I'm going to tell you what it is God wants from you. And I'm going to tell you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to his church. And I pray this. I pray he's speaking to our church. I pray he's speaking to our church today, and whoever might be in here who needs a come to Jesus meeting, that he's speaking to you today also. You have an outline, and that's going to cover the whole section that I've read, but I'm not going to preach on that whole section. I'm going to tell you the first three verses refer to our calling, and it's a greeting. It's civil. So let me tell you that, so in case you're just scared of come to Jesus meetings, there's some civility still in a come to Jesus meeting. He says, look, greetings and grace to you and peace from God our Father. It's not rude. You look at Jesus in the Gospels, he was never rude. He got mad. He told people the truth, but he wasn't rude. He didn't just cut, you know, he just spoke to them. He loved them. Even people he was angry with, he shared the truth with them in love in order to try to get them saved. And that's the same way with us. Don't run away from a come to Jesus meeting. It's not going to be rude, and it's not meant for your destruction. It's meant for your help. It's meant for your growth. It's meant for your salvation. It's meant for his glory. So don't be afraid of it. Verses 4 through 9 just outline thanksgiving. Things to be thankful about. Whatever kind of time you're going through in your life, maybe you're on hard times that have nothing to do with you, and you find it's hard just to get the basics in life, food, water, shelter, stuff like that, because there's people who go through those kind of times. You might say, it's not even my fault. It's just the way things have went down. I'm struggling. Maybe you're somebody who's struggling with things that you were told a long time ago. Don't do these things. You were given wise counsel. Stay away from this. But you didn't, and you did it. And now you're reaping what you've sown. And it's overwhelming, and you have trouble with that. Maybe you're somebody like I was. The Bible calls them a fool. Someone who says in their heart, there is no God, and lives their life in such a way that There is no God, no one watching, no one caring, no one out there. But maybe he's brought you here today to change that. Maybe that's your come to Jesus meeting. Maybe you're doing everything you can. You're busting your hump to make ends meet, to provide, to raise your family, to protect yourself. And you're just, it's not working. It's coming and you're at your wit's end. Maybe that's you. But I can tell you this, the come to Jesus meeting that God wants for us involves us in whatever circumstances we are in to be able to look to God and say, there is something for me to be thankful for. There's something for me to be thankful for. Even if it's just the grace of God that's poured out on us, whether it's the assurance that God gives to those who believe. Did you hear in this section of Thanksgiving? I love it. He says, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will confirm you to the end. To the end of what? To the end. The end of your life, the end of time, the end of whatever. He will confirm you blameless if you put your faith in Christ. Thank you, Lord, because I'm prone to mess up. I'm prone to stupid. And I'm glad that you're there willing to confirm me to the end because of what your son has done, not because of what I've done. Thank you, Lord. I can be thankful. Whatever place you've come in, there's something to be thankful about. There's something you can give thanks. So even in a come to Jesus meeting, even in that confrontation, that eyeball to eyeball, that uncomfortable, there's still something to give thanks for. You always will find something to give thanks for. Now, in verse 10, he drops the boom. In verse 10 of chapter 1, Paul just says, here it is. This is what I need to tell you. And he uses a strong word. It's like, it says in my version, plead, but the word is like begging and urging, like I am begging you in the name of Jesus that y'all find a way to overcome all the differences, all the contentious things, all the petty stuff that gets stuck in your craw that makes you a negative person. Leave that alone. Everything that you get and you see that makes you say, well, I got something better, my way is better, and I don't like them in their way. Whatever the divisions are, whatever the contentions are, that's the first thing he addresses to this troubled church. He don't address sexual immorality first, gambling or drunkenness. He doesn't first address all the other myriad of immoralities that were going on in this church in Corinth. The very first thing he begs them to do is to be single-minded about Jesus Christ and what he's doing. Y'all listen, I believe through the grace of God, I believe the church can survive anything. But I believe this, one of the toughest things for a church to ever survive is when there's bickering, infighting, dissension, contentions, anger, backbiting, rumoring, gossiping, all these things. And there's not a united front. And think about this. He says in verse 10, not just even a united front like posing or fake. He says that you all speak the same things. That there be no divisions among you. That you are perfectly joined together. Same mind, same judgment. And can I tell you, he's not talking about us being cookie cutters of each other. He's talking about speak the same things, have the same mind and the same judgment, especially in the church where it concerns Jesus Christ being the Lord of all. And when he is your priority, everything else gets put in its place as a lower importance thing, and the church can walk forward and see God move. Listen, church, there's so much. We live in such a divisive time. If I were to sit up here and say, this president is wonderful and the last president was junk, I would hear, oh. If I were to say, the last president was wonderful and this president was junk, I would hear, oh. If I said, Jesus was a Democrat, oh, Jesus was a Republican, oh, and this is that. There's so much divisive stuff out there, isn't there? Even in this room, we could divide us real quick. Ole Miss on this side, State on this side. You on the state side. I got you. Hey, and those are little things I mean, they really are, and I know nobody, you know, it's just rivalries, and I know it's good-hearted fun, but I'm going to tell you this. When you walk into a church where there's divisions and contentions, if you walk in as a stranger, you can feel it. You ever walk into a church where you felt like there's a tension, it felt like a heaviness? You walk in and you're like, what's up? What's wrong? You're not sure, you know, and you just kind of watch and you see the nervous smiles. It seems like everybody's walking on eggshells. So don't go there. Don't say that. Don't move those flowers. Don't do that. Oh, my goodness. Y'all, that is not what he has for his church. It's not what he has for us. I'm not going to belabor it. I'm simply going to say it. Christ community, we're not immune to these things. We are not beyond the pale of allowing things that irritate us, frustrate us, sometimes even in fear, and maybe even rightly so, because there's things that happen. We're not the most well-structured church, which is an understatement. We have our issues. We have things that work sometimes and don't work other times. We have a crazy preacher. We have all kind of weird stuff. There's plenty of fault to find. Please don't ever take it lightly. Listen to the Word of God as He begs and says, don't have divisions. Be of one mind. And if you say, I just don't know what I could be of one mind with, He reminds us again and again, be of one mind concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you not put aside petty differences? Can you not put aside rumors and gossip and frustrations? Can they not melt in the heat of His love and grace? Can they not back down and let Him be up front and you just take the loss? Well, it's not what I like. Well, then live what you don't like so that God might be glorified in His church. That's not a problem. That's okay. Ain't nobody here to give you 100% of what you like. But the church, His church, needs to be united. United in speech, united in mind and judgment, and just in closing, united in the gospel. I love this statement by Paul. In verse 17, he says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." And this is what he was saying. He was saying, church, put it in proper perspective. I haven't come here to do the baptizing and the religious stuff. That stuff will get done. It'll get done sure enough, and it's good. But the priority is preaching the gospel. The priority is showing the gospel. The priority is lifting high Jesus Christ. And when He's lifted high, He'll draw all men to Himself. The priority is our Lord Jesus Christ. Not my way, your way, their way. They got all into this. I like this guy. I like, you know, there's people in here. I remember one time I got criticized. And I got criticized a lot more than once. But one time in particular is what I mean. Because I said something about, I can't even remember the guy's name anymore, Joel Osteen. I got nothing against, there's people who love Joel Osteen, and if you say anything bad about him, they'll cut your tires in Christian love. And I really didn't say anything critical, I just was saying, you know, he smiles, the way he smiles all the time, it like hurts my face, like I can't even do it, I can't make my mouth spread that big, you know, and it's just, and I was saying something like that, and somebody got really irate, that, and they're not here. Because they stopped coming to the church because they're like, you're making fun of Joel Osteen. And I'm like, I'm really not. I mean, I guess I am, but I give him permission to call me fat or something. You know, it's like, I'm Big John. He's fat. Be like, okay. But we get like tied up in this stuff like, well, this guy said this and Pope Francis said this and you know, Billy Graham said this and this teacher said this and J. Vernon McGee said this and John MacArthur said that and John Piper said this and that. That's fine. Praise God for great teachers and leaders. But if they become a source of contention and division, let them go and grab on to the one head that the church has, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Does that make sense? Look, that's where this letter started. Of all the immorality that could have been the lead-off batter for this letter, the thing that God chose to say first and to say, I beg you, was not to have divisions in the church. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for an awesome day. Thank you for our little angels. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for a great praise and worship time. And Father, above all things and through all things, we say thank you for giving us your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. And may we be a church that's always first and foremost His. And may we be people who you've called into this church, that we would individually be always first yours. And if we got to set aside preferences, if we got to set aside pride, if we got to set aside dreams and ambitions, whatever it might be, that you'd be glorified in your church, would you give us the strength to do that? Oh Lord, we do love you. Thank you for loving us so much. Teach us your way. Lead us, Lord. You're our shepherd. You're our God, our Lord, our Savior. And we give you all the praise. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's the invitation. We're not a contentious church. And I don't want to give you all the idea that we are. I'm just telling you this. Churches that don't continue to cooperate purposefully in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, they end up being contentious churches down the line. Because other things, programs, people, stuff gets in the way. Keep your focus on Him. But if you, in your heart, have anything bound up, any kind of contention or divisive thing, and you need to confess it, that's the invitation. Get rid of it. Confess it and leave it with God. Get rid of that contention. Ask Him to make you grow up past it and forsake it. That's the invitation today with this second part. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. See, this is written to a church. A church is not just a gathering of everybody. A church, the real church, are those who have been born again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been forgiven of their sins and given eternal life. They've been filled with the Spirit of God. That's the church. Make sure today that you are a part of His church. Make sure that you're born again today. And that's simple. It's simple for us. It was painful for Him. It's free to us. It was costly for Him. But you simply come and say, Lord, I ask that you forgive me of my sins, that you be my Lord and Savior, and I give you my life. I'm calling on you. Save me. Let's pray. This is your time. We're not going to pray. We're going to sing. Thank you, Lord. Help us. Leave it all behind. Thank you. All right. We're going to take the morning offering, so if the ushers would come forward to take the morning offering. And just remember, if God speaks all kind of ways and all the time. So if he spoke to you in song or sermon or in the drama or just in some kind of interaction you had, and he's moving you to do something in some way, don't overlook it. Don't look past it. Do business with God. He loves you, and he's not going to let go. He's not going to stop. He's going to keep coming. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this morning and just the blessing of being here and seeing what we've seen, heard what we heard. It's a good day. Help us not to take for granted the good days. Not every day is good, but today thus far is good. And we say, thank you, Lord. And I pray for the offering. I pray, Father, that you would bless it, that you would bless us in it, and that you'd be glorified. Thank you for allowing us to worship you in a tangible way. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
Amen. What a good day. Just a few announcements. If you're going to Beautiful Feet Mission Trip, it's $110 per person, and we need the money because we got to pay the bus and do all those things. So if you're going to go, come see me, or you can see Sarah, but take care of that. If you've made a contribution, a financial contribution to Christ Community Church in 2017, there's contribution records out on the desk right there in the hallway. And they're in alphabetical order, and you kind of look through them and get that. On Wednesday night, we're telling the story, the Bible story, God's story, started in Genesis, and we're moving our way out, and we're just doing it in story form, and it's really, I'm fired up about it, but anyways, I invite you. That's at 6:30 on Wednesday. Tonight, the youth are having a Super Bowl party here, and so if you're not a youth, just wear some saggy britches and come on anyway, nobody will know. Anyway. Just roll up in here, you know, I don't know if you want to. Talk with your small group leaders about what's going to happen with small groups and stuff. I know some are not meeting. I know that some are meeting right after church to make up that time. And but everything will continue back to normal next week with small groups at 5:30 on Sunday night. And I think that's all I got to say besides, hey, I love you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let me pray. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would dismiss us and give us just continuing grace and help us, Father, to be those who look to you and are changed when we see you as you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Break!